Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Yo, yo.
Yo, what's up, buddy?
I had to go brush my teeth because I know there's going to be millions upon millions of people watching this on the Michael Irvin Show. Let's go, Mike!
Welcome to the MIP.
It is that time, the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. And I want to start by, if you've been here before, welcoming you back to the MIP. And if this is your first time, I want to welcome you in to the MIP. We have such a great show lined up for you. The hot guy right now leaving the football field and walking into that world that I'm in, that broadcasting world, Julian Edelman. He will be our guest today on the MIP. But first, you know we start this thing with the MIP report. And in the MIP report, Tim Tebow officially signs. People are going crazy over that. In the NBA play-in games, wow, play-in games. I know LeBron didn't like it. We must discuss it. Those NBA playoff games were good. Let's start this thing off. And right now with the MIP report. Now, guys, you know, this week, all we've gotten a lot of in the news media is really the stories that have been out there in the NFL already. We talked a little bit about Tim Tebow, the first story of the MIP, the Tim Tebow officially signing. We've talked about it. And I'm kind of confused with how many people are really against this. And I looked over it. I told you guys before, guys, the tight end position is such a unique position because it takes a smart player. I played the tight end position before I got moved to wide receiver. You have to know all of the plays in the run game, the lines, the blocking schemes, and you have to know all of the plays in the pass game. It's the only player on the field outside the quarterback that needs to know everything like that. It's a tough position. And now look, like quarterbacks, you can't find enough of them. So I'm confused at why everybody is going after this deal to the degree that they're going after with Tim Tebow signing with Jacksonville. Oh, Tim Tebow's taking up a spot from some other tight end. Man, those dudes, they've been checking and looking for tight ends out there. Look around the league. They're hard to find. The Giants just signed Big Benjamin to come play tight end. An old wide receiver and Calvin Benjamin. They used to play wide receiver. Come play tight end. Because what they want, they're looking for somebody that can run like a wide receiver, but have enough mass and big enough and strong enough to maintain blocking somewhat like a lineman and make plays and catch the ball on the inside of the football field. They're trying to go out and build them a Kyle Pitts. Since we just can't find these people on the football field, let's go try to see if we can build us one. Let's take a wide receiver, bring them in. That's what they're trying to do. The Tim Tebow is in that vein. This guy, talk to how smart you have to be to play the game. And he's a smart guy. He knows he played the quarterback position. He knows the game from the quarterback position. Now, when it comes to playing, he's not going to play the attached tight end position. There are two tight end positions. There's the attached. That's the guy that's right on the end of the line, that's standing next to the offensive tackle, and that has to block everybody and help in the run game. And then there's the detached. That's the guy that lines up maybe 3 to 4 yards outside of the tackle and controls, helps control in the passing game. The detached tight end, he's big and strong. And if you put a DB on him, he out-muscles him. But he also, they want him to be able to run. So when you put a linebacker on him, they can outrun him. So this is what they're going to try to do with Tebow. And I don't think that's a bad idea to see if he has something. I told you last time, Tim Tebow, he just doesn't have a ill will bone in his body. Nothing that says animosity towards nobody. So I'm confused with how this could be a big problem in the locker room, because that seems to be what everybody is talking about. I will say this, the one thing that made me shake my head just to get a little bit was the fact that Tim Tebow moved into a home three doors down from Urban Meyer. Now, I can tell you, I personally know how all of that came about. And I can tell you this, I don't think I'm violating any trust of anybody. That wasn't intended. You know, Tim Tebow was looking for a house and they, you know, she found a house and this is where it was, and it just kind of worked out that way. But it wasn't intended. But it won't come off that way. There's a possibility of this coming off as, oh, okay, then you move three houses down. Now you send them in the locker room. Oh, you're sending a spy in the locker room. I don't think that will come off that. I don't think that's what will happen, because, as I said, Tim Tebow ain't got a spy bone in his body. You're going to look at me going, I am a spy. Hey, you know, every time he sees you, he's telling you, God bless you. All of this stuff. He just starts saying, no way anybody could be that great of a hypocrite, where he makes you feel that comfortable and that good, and then going back and telling those stories. It's just impossible. Your body, your mind can't see it. Like you're standing in front of the male version of Mother Teresa, and you know she's going to go. You know she's going to go see someone. You just know it. They ain't got nothing wrong in them, so you just know it. So I don't believe it's going to be a problem, but I wouldn't want people to perceive it as that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want people to perceive it as that. So if I'm Tim Tebow in the locker room, I'm telling the story that I already know that this was not intended, that I just happened to end up being around and finding a home near the head coach. But I do think it's a good idea, guys, signing Tim Tebow, man, having that voice in the locker room for those young guys. And remember this, as I said to you, Travis Lawrence, champion, ETN, a champion. Tim Tebow got some champion in him too. And I always say hope dictate effort. And you see people around you that won some championships, you start saying, okay, you know, let me see if they can help me get there. Let me see what knowledge they have. All of that in your locker room you need, especially when you're trying to bring a locker room from where Jacksonville has been to where Jacksonville wants to go. Tim Tebow can also help a young offense that's looking for an identity with a young quarterback for the first time, and put in and give you some of those special Taysom Hill-like plays from the tight end position. You see what I mean? Add some real fun to that offense, man. You get tight end reverse passes, all of these things that most tight ends could never do. Tim Tebow's left-handed. You know, so most people aren't going to think when he's lined up on the right side and he gets a reverse going left that it's a reverse pass. Because most of the time, people line up on the left, they get that reverse going right and throw a right-hand pass. So, you know what I mean? It's a flip for the defensive coordinators that have to come up with defensive schemes to watch that stuff. Because he's left-handed. Little things like that can make a difference. can make a difference and make it plays on that football field for a young team. And a young team that will get some confidence with every successful play. So understand how important it is. We're talking ultimately about winning football games, but it's also about gaining confidence with every play, gaining confidence in my coaching staff, gaining confidence in the scheme we run. That's why any success is very important when you're in the early stage. And if I'm them, I'm doing this too with Tim Tebow, trying to find, help me in the locker room, but give me other things for defensive coordinators to worry about, because I'm trying to find success every time so I can gain confidence that success is where we are supposed to be. Speaking of success, story number two, this NBA playoff game in the MIP report has been absolutely a success. You can say what you want to say. What? Hey, boy, love LeBron. Boy, love LeBron. I follow him everywhere. And then I raised the eyebrow. And like, hey, you know, maybe LeBron got some. When he talked about whoever came up with these play-in games, they ought to be fighting. I said, hey, maybe he's saying something now. You know, play-in game. And then I thought about it a little bit longer. And then I saw it. You know, it wasn't in the bubble. It was outside. I said, oh, God. I said, this is a great idea. Wait a minute. This is a great idea. First of all, let's talk this out. I get the results first. You know, Indy beat Charlotte 144-117. They killed Charlotte in the East. You know, Boston 118 over Washington 100. That was the East. In the West, Memphis beat the Spurs 196. Y'all stop playing. Y'all saw that game. That Lakers-Warriors game. 103-100. The stories around these playing games are insane. Insane. I see them like this because the NBA made these games for guys like the LaMelo Balls, young guys that get exposed to the playoffs a little bit, of a playoff-like atmosphere, or the NBA audience to get exposed or to get eyes on the young stars that are up and coming. And in these games like this, just like in the playoffs, you get a chance to make a step. Because everybody watching you, you're the only game playing at that time. I used to tell guys, man, we're the only game playing at this time. This ain't the regular season where they got a slate of games. Right now, anybody that loves football has to put his eye gate upon you. Because that's the only game playing at this time. This is where you make your name. This is where you get a chance to make a step and step out and claim what's rightfully yours. But it ain't easy because the atmosphere is different. Yeah, you got more eyes, which means you got more pressure. And I always tell you, pressure does one or two. For the good, it makes them fold. For the great, it makes them focus. And I saw some dudes that folded. But I saw some that focused and did some wonderful things. Let's be real. That first game, that Indy Charlotte game with Charlotte, the pressure of that playoff situation hit them and they crumbled. I think the world of that young kid Ball, he's going to be a great player. But playoff is something different. And that pressure hit him and they fold. But boy, right after that game, that Boston Washington game came on. I said, okay. Well, what's going to happen in this game now? Pressure. When that pressure hit Boston, you saw Jason Tatum focus. He didn't fold. That boy showed up and played, dog. I mean, I was taking notes as I was watching it. You know, I'm like, this dude, big, he fast. He took a ball one time, right above the key, and just leaned, like he leaned over Bradley Beal, like, what can you do about this? Doop, ball dropped right in the basket. Then he came back and did a step back three. Ball dropped right at the basket. Then he came in. There was somebody, ran right by him. Ball dropped right at the basket. I said, this dude here, this is what I'm talking about. He's taking this moment to state his claim. He's focused. These are pressure moments, and everybody watches. I said, this dude. Now, I was surprised on the other side because I wanted to see what Russ Westbrook did too. And it did. It just seemed like Russ was a little bit off, you know, obviously in the way he played, but I don't know. I felt like just his energy was off. You know, the way he attacks, just his energy was off. And then at the end of the game, he limped off. So, you know, I know they get another chance, so I got to wait to see what happened with Russ there. But man, what Jason Tatum did, dude, was cry for, I'm ready to be put on the level of LeBron, KD, Steph, and those guys. Now, Tatum ain't been put on that level. He has a physical skill set, but he hadn't been put on that level. But that playing game, I'll call that his first statement. And he talked about it after the game. He said, you know, I wanted to be the best player on the floor. And I felt like right then, I said, uh-oh. Now, so he's been talking to somebody that's talking about being great and being the greatest, because that's the one thing that the greatest always whisper. I said it before I stepped on any field, any time. You better be the greatest on the field today. My job. He said, I got to be the greatest on the court each night. That's what greatness is. You got to be the greatest on the court each night. Now I'll get to watch you match this. Them dudes over there in New York with them Nets. Because, hey, I want to see, can you be the greatest on the court with Kevin Durant? Can you be the greatest on the court with James Harden? Can you be the greatest on the court with Kyrie Irving? Because then you would have snatched your place among the greatest. I can't wait to see that series. But there was so much great love in the West. I mean, the Memphis beating the Spurs, that was just a little, hey, give me some bread, put on my butter, give me some butter and bread. I don't want to lay that. But that meal that came after we ate that bread and butter, that Lakers and Warriors game, oh, my God. See, Lakers and Warriors weren't meant to be in this game. This was just a treat from God to us. Those boys got hurt. They don't need Steph and LeBron in a play-in game. Steph and LeBron going to get all the eyes in the world anyway. They concocted the playoff games to get eyes to those teams that are below, right below the playoff mark, and those players that are right below the superstar level. It wasn't for Steph and LeBron. This was just a gift that got laid on our plate. I mean, right there. And it was a good meal. I mean, LeBron and them came out looking poor early. And after Draymond said, you know, we like being in this role. We've spent so many years as the hunted. And now we are the hunters. I said, ooh, I like that. I like that. That sounds like something I would say in the locker room. Yeah. And when we hunt like lions, we kill. Like the king of the jungle. You know, I'd use that to get my boys going. You know, it sounds like something. I thought it was going to work. And it did for the first half. It worked. They were looking great, boy. Golden State. I kept saying, oh, my God. Golden State about to win this game. Right at the end of the half, Step dropped that last three on. I said, oh, my God. It's over. My producer, Sean, text me talking about, damn, Steph, You know, because he's a Laker fan. He out there in L.A. He went, damn, Steph. He thought it was over. By the end of the game, I text him back. Damn, LeBron. Let me tell you the story. What tripped me out in all of that. Let me tell you what tripped me out. It's how it unfolded. Then we late in the game, right? They make the comeback. Lakers come back. We're late in the game. And you can't write this stuff. You can't write this stuff. Ball gets batted around. LeBron, the big dude, who goes to the basket, that's his gift. That big, that fast, that move, you get to the basket. Steph, the dude, the greatest shooter bar none in the history of basketball, point blank, period. Shut up. You can't even discuss it. It can't even be a discussion. It can't be a discussion, period. In the end of that game tight on the line, ball being batted around, ball comes into the post. They kick it all the way back out to the big guy. It was in the post. They kicked it all the way back out to the big guy, LeBron. He's over there 30 feet away, raises up, got to get the ball off before the shot clock goes down. Boom, lets it go. It's a three-pointer from Never Never Land that never, never touched any part of the net. It dropped right in the bottom of the net. And who was sitting there staring right at him? Who? It was Steph Curry. Steph Curry just got Steph Curry. Did you know that? I watched Steph Curry got Steph Curry. I said, oh, my God. And you saw the look on Steph Curry's face when this big joker dropped that three was the look I saw on so many people's face when Steph dropped that shot on them. I said, oh, my God, this is insane to see that, man. It was a gift from heaven. When the people wandered the desert in the Bible and they didn't have anything to eat, God directed down in the Bible, it says manna. Manna. Manna literally means, what is it? And it was food that didn't have any taste. And they said, it's manna. It's just a gift from heaven. LeBron and Steph Curry last night was manna. It was just a gift from heaven. And I thank our Heavenly Father for that manna called Steph versus LeBron in a play-in game. Now let's get to watching us some playoffs. Pretty soon here. We'll talk about that coming up. But right now, we're going to talk to a man that I think just had just a phenomenal career. And you'll keep hearing me say it. When I measure him in distance traveled, whoa, what a distance he has traveled. Julian Edelman joins the MIP next. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's Geico.com. Hey, join the MIP, and it's simple here, man. I don't have to go into all bunch of things. The one thing that matters most is winning championships in this league. And this man stayed playing in those championship games. He is a three-time Super Bowl champion, wide receiver for the New England Patriots. recently retired, and will be joining me on this set of Showtime Inside the NFL. He will be part of that crew along with the rest of us, JB and the guys. Joining the MIP, the Mike Over podcast right now is one of my favorite football players, Julian Edelman. Jay Jules. Jay, let's break into that first now. Wait. The nickname they called you in New England was what?
I had Squirrel a lot. There was Squirrel, there was J.E., J.E.11, Jules, Jewels, Santana. I mean, the nicknames go, as you know, in the locker room all the time. All the time. So we got to come up with the nickname because I'm joining your team now, bro.
Right. We'll get you out. That's a good one.
Coming in hot. We got to bring a little youth to this thing. We got to bring a little youth to this thing. I know you guys have been in that game for a while, so –
Yes, we're bringing in that new blood now. Hey, Jude,
and it's like a rookie. You know when the rookies
right. That's what I'm about to tell you. Oh. You better get
it. I do not want because I've been the old Wiley vet now for the last 6 years. Where you see the young meat come in, you're like, oh, he has a whole lot to learn, and I'm gonna be that going under the set with you guys. I'm so nervous and excited, and I can't wait. Let's go.
Isn't that good, though, man, to have that juice? And listen, and speaking of that, being nervous and exciting, man, that's the thing, Jules, that you miss when you hit retirement. Most people don't have anything they can go to pull that out of them again. And you're so used to feeling it and overcoming it every Sunday. Feel it and overcome it, because that's what I call conquering. It's not, all right, I want you – I don't want to say I went into a game and I wasn't nervous. I ain't feeling – I want to be nervous. I want to have to overcome that. That brings the best out of me. What do you think about that?
I think that's 100% correct. I think you get nervous about things you're passionate about.
Right.
You know what I mean? That you really care about something, especially, you know, going into a football game. You know, we're not playing basketball or baseball 86, 120 22 games or this or that and the other. We have a three-hour game on Sunday that we prepare all week for. We can't afford to mess something up because that could be the season. That could be a game. You can't have a three-game slide here. Every game counts in the National Football League. So, like, I get nervous because I care about every single thing I'm doing. And I know how much time and effort and preparation I put into this. So, you know, that's how I always felt pregame. And, you know, I'm starting to feel that a little here. And, you know, I'm excited.
And I love that, Juice. I love that. And I was, you know, just, I mean, you know, I've told you a long time ago what I think of you, buddy. I told you, because I always tell people I measure men on distance traveled, and the distance that you have traveled from seventh round draft pick, playing quarterback, coming in, punt returning, then playing wide receiver, and to build that career, that's a great distance travel, man. One of the things I heard that you were saying, you said, listen, I, you know, the last couple of years has been hard on me. I haven't been able to practice every day. And I read what you said. I gained my confidence in practice. And Jules, I'm with you. That's why this new stuff where everybody doesn't want to practice and nobody wants to come to camps and we can do it virtual. That shit blows my mind. I'm like, dude, how do you not want to practice? Especially us, we got to run all day long. You can't run unless you out here running. That blows my mind, man. Where are we going with this?
You know what? It's crazy because it's one thing to go out and train. And I mean, I redlined when I was training. I was trying to beat my body up.
Right.
You have to run, you have to cut this, that. And you go an extra 20% more when you have another man against you, when you're competing.
Right.
The body's even going harder. So you need that to get your ankles, your knees, your explosiveness all right for the season. So I loved it when we go into camps. And that's why we play the game. I wanted to go and talk shit, or you can't swear, talk crap. And, you know, and you know, I liked fighting in practice. I liked going out there because that's, like I said, there are many games. Our practices, Scotty O'Brien, the special team guru. You remember Scotty O'Brien?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. He used to say, shit. These are mini games. These aren't practices, you know, and it's true because you bring that intensity and you make practice hard. You go into the game, you have the answers to the test, Now it's just about execution. I've already slept and dreamed it. I've already seen the cover five on third and medium, and the guy's got inside leverage with help over the top with the safety. I know I got to bop him and get inside. You know, I've already seen it. So it's one of those things where, you know, I loved practice, and I, you know, there's a lot of times where you hated practice. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we're still football players, and you know what I mean? Like, you go in there, we got to do this again. But looking back on it, it was the preparation and the practice that is what made the player I was. I mean, you know, that's where I learned all techniques. That's where I got to experiment with certain routes. That's where, you know, you go in and you tell a guy the route you're running and you still win because you're trying to make it hard. You know what I mean? It's all those things. And that's what I loved. You know, I gave 100,000%, 120% every time I went on that football field, and rubbed a lot of guys the wrong way sometimes, and we had to duke it out. But it was never hard feelings once you got off. They got it. You know, oh, Edelman, he's just a crazy asshole. Look at him. You know what I mean? Like, right. That's what it was. And, right. You know, that's what made me better.
I wanted to challenge him.
Huh?
The team needs that, Jules. That's what like you said, because I was thinking when you said, man, it's not always easy. Practice hard, and it is. But if you got the right kind of team, it's you or it's me or somebody going to say something or do something or mess with me in some way that's going to pull me up. Like, oh, Mike, don't be coming in here. I don't hear you saying that today, Michael. What's going on? You don't feel like practice? Oh, okay. Thanks for waking me up. I'm about to put it on your butt today. You know what I mean? When you get a team like that, you got one or two people, and even on those hard days, they talking some kind of noise. Okay, here we go. I'm about to whip your butt in this practice. I miss more than anything.
You know, so since I've retired, I got all my friends that aren't athletes. Oh, hey, Jules, come play, you know, basketball. Let's go this. I can't do it. I'm a professional competitor. I'm a competitor. I can't just turn it off. I don't want to go out there and turn on the competition. I'm over here diving for balls. I don't want to get hurt. I will take it to a level where I will get hurt because I want to compete. You know what I mean? I retired from that. I retired from that. You know, I gotta let my heart settle down.
You do now. Because you're gonna be, or you'll be like I was. I was getting in fights on the basketball court. I'm like, calm down, man. Gee, what are you doing out here? What are the kids?
A lot of guys, we can't just go out there if you're going to play with some regular jokers because everyone's going to size you up. Oh, right. I got Michael Irvin. I want to see what he's about. He played in the league. You know what I mean? I am not doing that because then we're going to end up I'm not taking shit. We'll fight. Like,
that's, you know, what I was doing. Yeah, I couldn't take it. I was going at him like, come on, let's go. You ain't said nothing. Oh, you won't be talking about me today. I bet you better tell your friends. I'm like, Mike, calm down.
I mean, but I'm not good enough at basketball to do that, so I don't want to go out there and look like a fool either. Come on, man.
Right. And that's going to happen too, dude. Because then, now let me tell you, right? I heard about when you were talking about your knee, and I want to ask you about that. Because let me tell you, you know, when I got out there, and I'm starting to play with these young kids, and man, these little – man, them young dudes, man, I'm telling you, they started going by me and the dunking ball. I said, hey, what the hell? I saw that coming. I saw it and I couldn't get in the way. And then my son said to me, he said, this is when I knew it was time. My son said, all right, dad, let's switch. Give me that guy. You play this guy. Right? And then the first thing he said to that guy was like, all right, let's see what you could do now that you don't have an old man on you. I say, hey, wait a minute. I'm right. I heard that. So I'm just telling you that stuff coming, man. It's coming.
You look at those and you say, oh, those healthy knees. Yeah. Healthy explosion. You know what I mean? When you were 20.
You used to have it. When you used to have those healthy knees, when you used to be able to get up, Jules, it's a whole different thing. But I heard you talk about that, man. The knee just got too much for you, and that's why you're walking away. Explain that to me, buddy. How did that knee get too much for you?
Well, I tore a PCL in 07, so my knee started sitting back a little differently. And, you know, you can keep, like, the little intrinsic muscles around your knee strong to keep your knee stable.
Right.
For years and years, but then, you know, you're 5 centimeters off on your biomechanics and things start breaking down. So then I basically killed all the cartilage on my medial side. And then, you know, I tried playing through it and, you know, training hard and putting a load. And then I go out and, you know, then I tear the root of my meniscus and in the medial side. So nothing's holding it down. And, you know, then you go and you're practicing and you get six plays and, you know, it just wasn't, you know, I can't put this much energy and time and passion for this much output when I usually get this much, because I don't want to put a bad product on the field. You know what I mean? I have too much respect for the game. I don't want to look like one of those old guys that's just out there just to be out there. You know, my time's come. I can't do it. And I'll let someone else go in there. And, you know, that's – hey, Father Time's undefeated.
Yeah.
It's a new era. There's a new group. There's some new deputies trying to be sheriffs. You know what I mean? So, you know, I didn't want to – My knee's breaking down. I'm not going to sit here, and I got everything I want. You know, I got three rings, played in a magical dynasty with an unbelievable franchise coach, best quarterback of all time. Like, yo, I'm not a greedy guy. I played to win. I played to compete. I don't need anything else to prove, you know? So, like, I'm good with what I did. I left it all on the field. And – you know, that's why I'd shut her down. I'm not going to sit out there and look like some old dude in an old bike knee brace and your ankle braces and, you know, the old guy. I don't want to look like that, man. Can't do that.
You're stronger than I am, Jules, because I promise you, man, I went to 10 doctors trying to find a doctor to say that I can go with my neck. You know what I mean? Like, you can go. And then I said, okay, yeah, I can't do this to the family. It's just such a hard thing to walk away from, man.
It is. Really. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, I love the game, and I'm already – my body's already, like, tripping because I feel like I should be in OTAs right now.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I have all this muscle memory and like the structure of the game and, you know, this time of the year, and I'm doing things for the first time that I've ever done since, you know, 8 years old. We've had the same life. You know,
right.
When we were 8 years old, I started playing football. I went to school and then I went to football practice. The school is substituted with football school now. That's all NFL is.
Right.
And then we go to football practice. You know, it's the same thing. So, you know, I'm going to miss it. And it was hard, but like, if I have a standard. You know, there's a standard that I want to play at. And if I can't do that, you know, you got to hang them up because, you know, these guys, it's dangerous in that league. And if you're missing 5%, 6% output in certain, you know what I mean? Then you start thinking about it.
Right.
You know, it gets too fast. These guys are going to be all over you. You know what I mean?
Yep. And it tears you up to let a dude – here, and this was funny, Drew, because as I start getting older, this will kill me now. I remember being younger, coming in looking for the Daryl Greens to make my name, right? I want to make my name. Where's Daryl Green? Where's the Rob Woodson? Who the baddest dude? Let me make my name. Then you get older, you start seeing them dudes looking at you, say, okay, who can I? Can I beat Mike Irvin and make my name? Like, wait a minute, Chuck.
Exactly.
You're not making your name on me today.
Mike, regardless – I understand that 100%, but like playing for the team I played for, it was everyone's Super Bowl.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Super Bowl. Guys are trying. If I make a play over on this dude, I'm going to get paid. Coaches, if we beat this team, we're going to get paid. You know what I mean?
Even if
it's terrible, you're getting the team's best every single week. My whole career. I mean, there was never a week off where you're like, oh, you know, we got these guys. You know, oh, we'll be all right. It was never like that. I mean, you go into those weeks and you see the guys clenching their jaws and over here. I mean, it's week 14. You guys have been out for 6 weeks. We're just trying to get a first round bye. Just chill out, man. Because if we have to do this and I'm going to turn it on, you're going to piss me off and then we're going to start fighting. That's how it was, Mike.
I miss those so much, man. Oh, my God.
You know that grind, though, that week 11 when you guys are in, you know, you got five games up. You're playing a team that ain't that good. You know, you're banged.
Just saw this, Chuck. I just saw you on film get torched. Now you want to come out here like almighty. I just watched you on film, dude. Break down and slow down with this mess, man.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's the fun part of it, man. That's the fun part of it. Jules, speaking of having fun, man, I know you're having fun. Even in your retirement, I always see it, man. I love that you guys went just about every year. I used to see you guys going to the Kentucky Derby. You, Tom, and all of you guys. You guys got a chance to go this year?
I didn't go. The rule is you only go if you win. And we didn't win this year. I didn't win this year, so I can't go. I can't go with the other guys.
Oh, man, you know what? I knew I loved you, man. That's how I'm like, dude. I'm
you only saying, go if you win.
Like,
you
if I, if I can't
you
deal
can't
with
roll it. If you don't win. It, you know, I love they go have fun, Tom. You know, bring the other group. That's your time. But I can't join this. This isn't me. This isn't my team.
Yeah, we're not out here. We're not out here. We're not the winners, you guys. But that bothered me.
Sore loser, Mike. I'm a sore loser. I don't care. I'm old school. I know everyone gets you get a ribbon, you get a ribbon. Everyone, I hate losing. I don't know if I like winning more than I hate losing.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I can't deal with it. So all of that means exactly what I thought it means. That's why you are where you are and doing what you're doing. So you didn't go with Tom to the Kentucky Derby, so you didn't get a chance to do what Troy did to me. Because I remember when I hurt my neck, Jules, and we go about 3 weeks of games after that, and I hadn't played. And Troy calls me, he said, "Man, let's go do some lunch." Went to lunch, and things weren't going good on the field. I'm in a neck brace. I ain't neck brace. Troy looked at me and said, hey, man, you sure you can't go? I said, dude, I broke my neck. Like, I'm done. Like, that's it. What are you talking about? Like, hey, Michael, you sure? I said, that's it. You know, he was trying to question because I had a little issue with the head coach at the time with Chan Gailey, a new head coach. I was like, I don't, you know, he's like, man, can you go or not? I was like, dude, it's not about the coach. I cannot go. Trust me, I've gone to the doctors, man. So I was wondering, have you had any time? And I've seen Tom. I saw a little trolling he does with you on the social media saying, just get your little rest and come on down to Tampa. He's not messing with you about that, truly, is he?
I mean, he thinks he's a Stanley social media guy now.
Yeah, he done turned on that social media.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, come on, Tom, I just retired, bro. Let me chill.
So I ain't got nothing left. I don't have anything left for that.
I can't do it. I'm not doing it. I can't, bro. You know, hey, not everyone's got the TB12 ligaments.
Yeah.
You know I mean, and the pliability and this and that, you know. He does joke around with me. And, you know, we have an unbelievably special relationship. Right. He's like a brother, man. He's like legit older brother. I tried to mimic and do everything he did. You know, from training, off the season, preparation, sleep, hydration, body work, that whole TB12 method. And I love him, you know, till the day I die for it because, you know, it helped me get to where I got. And, you know, but, you know, he trolls me, but it is what it is. And he let him keep trolling. And, you know, I'm a one team guy.
Yeah, I wanted that too, Jules. I wanted to say I started and finished right there. You know what I mean? That I know it doesn't seem like that's important to people in today's game, you know? And it's all cool. Teachers on. I ain't got no issue with it. But I wanted to say I only played for one team. And when I played, we were in the hunt of everything. You know what I mean? So to each his own. And I'm glad. I like that. I like that you said that you have – That thought about playing for one team. You don't think you'll have that itch. You don't think that itch will come back. You think you can lay it down and move around and not come back to that game. To play, I mean.
You know, I don't think so. We'll see. You know, going into it all, you know, this is still so new and foreign that, you know, like I said, my knee's not going to allow me to do it. I'm not going to go out there and try to force it. And, you know, it's now September rolls around and we're getting ready to go shoot on, you know, inside the NFL. And I'm over here watching these jokers in training camp and stuff. And, you know, I might have to I'm chilling.
Yeah. And Jules, for guys like you and me, honestly, the best way to lead a game. People say, well, you want to go out on an injury? No. That's the only way I would have gone out. Because, you know what I mean? If my body has – my will is always there. It has to be my skill because my will is always – is so strong. Like, I want to play all the time. So something breaks down to help me walk away. Okay, thank you. That's it. Because I would never have let it go. I would have never let it go, really, you know?
Same way, man. Like I said, I would go until the wheels fall off.
And the wheel fell.
That wheel is going down 495 right now. Okay, there's no wheel. so you know, it's you can be, I'm proud of, you know, I gave everything to the game, everything I had, everything to the game. And, you know, and it's been unbelievable to me. And I've got to experience so many unbelievable things on the field, create some of the most special relationships I've ever had with some of the brothers that you go to, you know, so-called war with, you know, not to take war or battle anything lightly.
Right, correct.
But, you know, it's tough, but you know, there's chapters in life. You know, just as when I was nervous going into the league as a seventh round guy, you know, like I had the same kind of nerves that I have now going into the new chapter. And, you know, you don't know what you're going to get out of it, but all you know is hard work and just, you know, grinding and trying to prepare and trying to improve daily, and focusing on what you got on your plate at that time. And if I do that through the history of my life, I mean, things have gone out pretty decent. So, you know, that's what I'm going to try to do and continue to do and, you know, bring it to my next chapter, which is joining your team, bro.
Let me give you some advice on this now, because these producers, they are in the business of putting you in a tight. And every time, I'm telling you, every time anything happens with the Dallas Cowboys, call Michael. Let's get Michael on. We got to get him on. You know what I mean? So I'm just preparing you right now. Friend to friend, get ready. This is what these produce. Anything goes on in New England, get Julian on. They'll start ask the question. New England in the midst of a slide. What are you guys' thoughts on that? Julian Edelman, they're going to start with you. Just get ready. That love that you have for New England, they're going to make you place that on the table when they start talking football.
We'll be there. Hey. I'm going to give the best of the best on the New England faithful. So I got this, bro. I got this.
You're going to be ready for it. The last stuff, like, you know, dude, what's amazing to me, man, because I always honor the dudes. You got three rings. Jerry Rice got three rings. I was blessed enough to get three rings, but I only played in three. Like, Juice, your time in New England, those 12 years, those teams went to, what, five Super Bowls?
Went to five.
Whoa. That's like a Super Bowl every other year.
Bro, I think we went to like nine AFC championships or conference championships or something like that. There's some craziness, bro.
Those ignorant numbers. Ignorant numbers.
You know, I was blessed and fortunate to play with, like I said, on an insanely
ignorant numbers.
Just awesome franchise. That reminded me of, you know, the franchise I grew up loving, the 49ers, you know what I mean? And then going to you guys and you know, the 80s and the 90s, you know, and, you know, it was crazy, man. Like every year it was like, all right, you know, you get that second win because you had the first round bye every year of my career, except I think one, you know what I mean? Like, all right, you know, now we got to win one here and then we're going to the championship. All right, we're in the championship. You know, ah, damn, we lost in the championship to Denver. Ah, damn, we did it again. And oh, now we're going. Now we got, you know, I mean, it's just, that's, it's pretty insane. I haven't really thought about it because, you know, I'm still in that kind of mode where like, you're like, you don't really get to appreciate stuff when you're grinding.
You're hunting. You ain't reflecting. But you're still hunting. Right.
I was never satisfied. Like when we won a Super Bowl, I went and worked harder the next year because loud people are even going to gun after you even more. You know what I mean? That's just how it is. Like it's a terrible way to live because you're always going on because I was never like, all right, well, we're good. And that comes from a lot of the leadership that I was around with, you know, Bill and Tom and how those guys compete and are never satisfied that like, there's never a sense of complacency that ever kicked in. You know, they were doing the same thing year after year after year, you know, like, and when you see that and you've been, I was around that for a decade and some change, you know, like it's going to rub off. And then when you start to see, you know, the most successful people in their region or what they do, and you get an inside look of how they do it, you better do everything they're doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's what got them there.
When you said, you mentioned the best in the business in Bill Belichick, the best in the business in Tom Brady. At those two most critical positions, Juice, I always say, man, the two people you don't ever go after is the quarterback and the head coach. Now, I've yelled on sidelines, a lot of people, but I've never went about quarterback or my head coach. When I needed that ball down, I'm coming on that sideline yelling, I'm yelling at my wide receivers coach and picking up the phone and coordinate. Don't get rid of my ass. Troy comes up. I ain't said nothing. What's up? How you doing? What's up, Troy? I ain't missing. You know what I mean? All right. Hey, the ball can fall 10 yards in front of me. Troy, that's on me. I don't want you thinking about the next one. You just throw it at me. I'm coming to get it. Don't worry about it. You know, I had that mentality. You had two of the best ever. I had Troy and Jimmy, and I thought at the time they were the best ever. And I was like, as long as I got these two, we'll never lose. You know, of course, then Jimmy left. And of course, I won one more with Troy. But we were never the same since those two split up. I'm just being real. And would have kept them both, we could have done some things like what you guys had done. You know, when I won 3 and 4 years, and when I left the game, I was like, okay, it'll be a while for somebody to do that. That gummit, y'all came in. Y'all did. I was like, oh, man, these mugs.
They did it twice, bro.
Right.
They did it
twice. That's what pissed me off. Wait a minute. Stop this madness. Now, well, do you think New England would ever have that kind of success again with those two split up now?
I do. I don't know if it'll be quite the success, and I don't think they're going to even be thinking about that. I think Bill's just worried about just getting his team right and getting – a new era going, because I mean that era is gone, like legit. There's like three dudes from the teams that I played on the team. This is straight new blood, right? And Bill has literally a binder that he can slap on the table and say, this is how I want this position, this is how I want this formation, this is how I want to run the offense, this is how I want to run the defense. And we're gonna see going forward, you know, how it's gonna be, because you know I have so much confidence in that organization just because of the top, you know, but it's going to be hard to do what they did, you know, and it comes down to like what you said, it comes down to the quarterback. We're going to see what with either the young gun or what they're going to do with Cam, you know, we're going to see, because you live and die by the quarterback, right? Like, you know, and we, let's not be dumb here. The league, You have a head coach and a quarterback. You know, Andy Reid's got his guy. They're going to go and, you know, that ship's going to sail. You know, Tom and Bill, they had their thing going. For, you know, Troy and Jimmy, they had their – Bill Walsh and Montana. Like, everyone – you live and die on that quarterback. You know, Roethlisberger and Tomlin. Like, that's how it goes, man. And the sooner they can get a guy that they feel comfortable with, whether it's Cam, like I said, or the young gun, or Stid, whoever they're going to bring, whoever's going to win that job, because they're going to make them compete. It's not going to be given to anyone. They're going to make them compete. I tell you that right now. That was one thing I learned from Bill. You know, it didn't matter if you were making $15 million or you were undrafted free agent. You know, I seen the guy get benched for undrafted free agent, like legit a guy, you know, like I've seen this. Right. So nothing will ever surprise me when you go into these decisions that will be made, because it's all going to be earned. Nothing will be given. So, you know, the sooner they can get that quarterback position going and Josh and he finds his, you know, his guy that he can, you know, basically puppet around and use that knowledge that he has, because those guys know football. That's what's going to determine if that team can have some success, you know, compounded success as well.
Juice, what was that like? You're talking about the quarterback, man. I just think back to last year, you know, after all those years playing with Tom, it's not just that you got a new quarterback. You got a whole different style quarterback. You know, Tom played the game inside out, you know, which was phenomenal. We played the game inside out, which is absolutely your strength. You know what I'm saying? That's strength to strength in an offense. And then Cam, who you know, he uses more of his legs in the game, you know, less inside out, probably pass, throw the ball better outside in, you know. So it was a different thing for you. What was that like in those two different type of quarterbacks lining up the play?
Well, it's hard for me to give an opinion on that because the sample size. I mean, it's unfair to Cam.
Didn't have practice. Didn't have
my guy came in. You know, this is calculus. The New England Patriots system, bro. Like, this is like, right, everything is methodically planned out. This is the reason for that. That is the reason for this. If this happens with this coverage, this guy's going to do that. That's hard. You can't just pick that up. And if you've never been in that system. Right. And so, like, it's hard to say that. Now, with Brady, I mean, Tom knew that thing inside and out. The guy was right. in the same system for 20 years. He's seen it evolve from zero to zero out slot to trips to now we're putting bonsai. Now we're doing matchup game. We're putting the Z here, the Y there. We're doing formation indicators. Like it's nothing. That's Tom. You know what I mean? That's his game. Right. That's why he's Tom Brady. You know, it's hard to – you can't put – you know, that's the best to ever do it. So that had to be hard for Cam. He comes in already, you know, only 2 weeks in. He had like 3 weeks, you know, at camp, and the camps were – last year was an absolute, like, joke, which it was – I mean, you know, these – the COVID stuff, I mean, you couldn't have a routine. There was, like, so many regulations and spacing and trackers. Like, that's already a variable that makes it hard for a young player that doesn't know professional football or a new player who's coming to a new team. Like, that stuff is hard. You know, you – As athletes, we are creatures of habit. We can go here, we can do this, we can prepare there. You know what I mean? There was so much craziness that was going on with all that. I mean, I don't think it was fair to see, you know, with how Cam had to go through that. You know what I mean? And I'm going to be very interested to see how he goes this year because he's got a year under his belt. My guy's probably working his tail off on all his reads. You know, he's probably been working hard. That's his MO. Cam works hard. You know, now we gotta see if he can work smart in the right areas. And if he does that, he's going to give himself an opportunity to do well. You know what I mean? You know, but he's also going to have to beat out the young gun because the young gun is there. Little Mac attack, whatever. Yeah. You know, this kid, you know, that's a first round draft pick. That's like a real first round draft pick. You know what I mean? And we don't. You know, when you play on bill teams, those are usually defensive ends. Those are usually corners. You know, we usually have, you know, the 28th pick or something. It's, you know, we're getting a defensive player. That's how Bill builds a team. If you come in and you're a quarterback drafted by Bill Belichick, I mean, let's go, buddy.
That's some pressure, though, Jules, for old Mac Jones now. That's pressure. You said it. And that's exactly when they step on the field. So now – Now, Mac Jones is carrying.
He needs to have that eye.
Right. It's not just his
confidence.
It's not just his legacy he's carrying. He's carrying Bill now because Bill don't take first round quarterbacks and he took him. Now, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? You know, and you know, this kid, it's not easy playing in New England, especially after Tom Brady, if he gets the opportunity and beats out the other guys.
Right.
You know, this ain't going to be easy. This town is tough. This town is mean. This town is blue collar. Boston people, the New England people, they want winning. They're used to that in all sports.
Right, right, right.
Kid's going to have a lot of pressure. You know what I mean? But I have faith that, you know, that coaching staff, you know, they do a really good job of teaching the young guys to ignore noise and really focus on what we have to do that day. You know, what's our task at hand that day? How are we going to improve this day? Who cares about the outside? Who this, that? They put so much information in your plate that you can't even really think about other stuff. Now, it's easier nowadays with the Twitters and this and that if these kids want to go look up their name and build up the pressure themselves. Right. I was the type of kid that didn't. You know what I mean? You know, hey, you would see stuff, but hey, we have so much work. You get caught up in that grind. You know, I hope they do that with him, and we're going to see. You know, it's going to be – you know, that's some big shoes to fill in a very crazy spot. So, you know.
But he's a smart kid. He's a smart kid. Max Swinton comes in with high rating.
There's a lot of smart kids.
Right.
He's smart when you have a 6'6" dude who just beat that left tackle coming down your throat, and you got to make an in-cut throw on third and 14. And if you don't, we lose the game. That's who I want to see. Cause that's what Tom Brady, I've seen that so many times with Tom Brady. It's unreal. I seen this guy stay in that pocket, pocket movement, boom, bang. All right, get up, pick his teeth up off the ground. Let's go do it again. Like that's why he's Tom Brady.
So it goes. You're right. Smart is the start. Smart is the start. But when that dude coming, like you said, that defensive end, it drops from smart to heart. Can you stay up in here now? I know you see it, but do you have the courage to stay up in here and get it off and throw that ball out? And I can't wait. I can't wait to see that. But that brings me to something, because I always wondered this, though, Jews. Why has, like, some, you know, they talk about all what getting upgrading the receiver position and building these up. There have been receivers that have come through that I thought were talented, greatly talented, but didn't succeed in New England, you know, and for most people go to Chad Ochocinco and guys like that. You talk about how difficult that offense. Why is that? Why do some guys not be, it's not that they can't play in the league and they can't, and they don't have talent, but they struggle in New England, even though they've had success in the league elsewhere. How does that happen?
I think there's a combination of things. You know, like, say you have a really talented guy and you're on a team that's not very well. It's a new head coach. That guy in practice doesn't run the right depth on something, but gets open. That guy in practice, you know, misses a side adjustment. But, hey, this guy, he's a good player. We need him to play well for us to win. There's not much of that in New England. They're going to go with the guy that does it consistently in practice, and they're going to challenge you mentally, you know, because that's what it is. I mean, it's such a methodical offense. If this happens, we're doing this. We already know what the play is because of the formation indicator. All right, now there's a change in play. There's a certain technique that this guy is playing on me. Now I have to run a route differently. I have to be on the same page of the quarterback because he's seen it for a long time. Yeah. He knows what he wants. You know, so there's a combination of things that makes it hard to play in that team. So, you know, it's not just like, hey, we're running a down and in. We're running a 20-yard in cut. All right. There's like these little techniques, and everything happens. Everything has a rhyme and a reason when you do it. And if you don't show it consistently in practice, they're not going to play you. It doesn't matter who you are. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's just how they are.
Yeah.
And that's why
they succeed. And that's why they succeed like they succeeded, man. Because that's the key. Julie, I always say what I love and what makes you so great is I tell young guys, I say, hey, watch the guys that knows how to get open, but more importantly, they know when to be open.
That's the
difference right there. They know when, like, you know when to be open. I'm not gonna beat you this soon, dude. He's looking up the field right now. He's not even looking at me. I'm going to beat you when I know he's looking at me right then. You know what I mean? I've watched you do that a million times, dog. And, you know, and it's so hard to stop somebody like that.
You know what? I was fortunate to be in the same system for a long time. So, you know, if I know I'm not the number one read,
right,
I got the quarterback clock in my head, too, so I can play with the dude. And if I know they didn't throw it there, the crowd ain't going, then I'm getting, you know, then I know he's coming back to me. So, I mean, it's just, you know, that's what it is when you get to play in the same system. And that's the blessings and that's how fortunate you get to be as a player when you play in the same system and you get to see it year in and year out from guys before you. And you know what I mean? That's hard. You know, like it's so crazy when other receivers come into New England and they're like, we have how to run this route against this coverage from back in 2000.
Right.
And you could see how it has literally progressed and changed and this, that, because they've been doing the same type of things for so long. You go somewhere else, that coach is pulling from like when he was at like Northeast Nevada State as like the, you know, the offensive coordinator. You're watching college kids do it. You don't get to see it.
Right.
You know how much that's when you visually can see things and you can coach off those things. That's huge. You know, and I got to see that and I got to experience that and I got to have the comfortability of in that offense to allow me to do those types of things.
And you did them at such a high level, Jules. You did high level. There's been a lot of talk. And I know I've had your wife, but I got to get to this. There's been a lot of talk about the Hall of Fame. And I was curious about where your thoughts were when you hear people mention you in the Hall of Fame. And their talk centers a lot around the playoffs, and I think and your performances in the playoffs, and I think that's valid. Let me tell you what I said about the Hall of Fame when it came to you. And then I want you to tell me your thoughts on all of this. Because this is what I said when everybody was talking about it. I remember, Jules. I remember when they had, because I was in the league, when we finally added fullbacks to the Pro Bowl roster. Because they were so valuable back then. You know, they're valuable in our game, man. Moose and all those guys, what he did for him, it was so valuable. And they never got a chance to get in under the running back code of the Pro Bowl because they're not running the ball like these do. You had Emmett, Barry, Ricky Waters. Barry, you're not getting in front of these guys.
Yeah.
I don't care how great of a fullback you are. So they created a fullback position for the Pro Bowl, which was needed. They did that. I said this in the hall, and I do believe this. I do believe this, and I'll tell you why I say this, that we should create a slot wide receiver position in the hall, and we should start it with you. I do believe, because you are required to be measured to the guys that are playing on the outside, right, to get in. My shortest route is 15 yards. I'm running a 15-yard comeback. You know, even on a slant route, I'm going to get 8 or 9 because I'm breaking at 5 or 6. You know, like, how can you measure what you're doing to my numbers outside when I'm going up the field all the time? Now, I go through this postseason. In the postseason, I have 87 receptions, 1,315 yards. You have 118 receptions. You have 1,442 yards. Yeah, it's 130 yards more. But that's 31 more receptions. Dude, imagine if that's 31 extra first downs. Are you joking? In the playoffs? You know how important that is? How amazing that is to have 31 extra first? That's why I say we need a slot receiver position in the hall to give these guys their due. Tell me your thoughts on you in the Hall of Fame when you hear all about that.
First, our slot receivers secondhand citizens over here. I mean,
no. Absolutely
I'm
not.
I'm just messing around.
But they got to get I'm trying to give you the love you deserve. But
I had a lot of catches on the outside too, Mike.
I'm with you on that.
It may not be 50 yard receptions, but I tell you, they were.
Make that case.
No, I'm not here to make a case, man. I didn't play the game to be in the hall. You know, I played the game, like I said, to first off, to make a team and then to go out and win Super Bowls. And, you know, when I was 8 years old, I didn't dream about, I don't know, I could be different than a lot of people. I didn't dream of, you know, putting a gold jacket on. I dreamed of hosting the Lombardi Trophy up, watching, you know, the 49ers, you know, growing up and you guys like seeing the guy on the float and you know, the game winning catch or the game winning touchdown. And I got to do that. Like, there's so many things that I got to do. I never really thought about the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, you know, it's an honor to even be mentioned because I know the men that are in that. You know, I'm a historian of this game. I've seen how you play. I've seen how, you know, the greats have played, and, you know, to even be put in the same sentence with you guys is an honor for me. You know, and if something happens, you know, I'm not going to be worrying about that. I'm going to be worrying about my new job here on Inside the NFL.
Yeah. That's the new gig now. That's the new gig, Juice. But I give you that credit, Juice, because I couldn't do it. I could not do it. I couldn't play in that slot. So that's why I say, no way. I mean, I watched Calvin Martin. He taught me so much about the game because he played that slot like that. And he taught me about, like, it's not just about getting open. It's knowing when to be open. He taught me all this stuff. I was like, oh, my God, these are things I never even thought about. You know what I mean? On the outside, I'm the first guy they come into. I ain't worried about it. Well, I just got to get over right now. But when he started breaking all of that down, I was like, oh. And then they tried to even put me in that slot later on. I'm like, no, this is, I'm not quick enough. It just doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'd rather go get 15 yards to take that hit than to get a 4 yards, 5 yards to taking those hits, man. So I just couldn't do it. So I honor the guy that can get in there and lock in and play. That's why I brought it up. I thought it was a phenomenal, phenomenal career and what you've done. And you definitely deserve that consideration. We can't tell the story of the NFL without you, Jules. You've been in 5 Super Bowls in 12 years. You can't tell. We're going to miss out that decade of the NFL. You see what I mean? And the people that are in the hall is when, and like I say, these are the people that you can't tell the story of the NFL without mentioning what they've done. And I'm just letting you know that.
Hype man right there. Hey, I'm with you, hype man. I tip my hat.
I want to get you. I'm working that side of it. I'm just making sure. I'm just giving your approval to work that side of it. I appreciate that. So that right there tells me you're going to let all that handle it. I'll handle that for you because I do believe that deserves some consideration for what I'm talking about when it comes to you. But I just wanted you to know that.
There'd be hell of a t-shirt. I'd make a hell of a t-shirt if something like that happened. There'd be some good, you know, my e-commerce, you know, I'm in that whole world, the social world. There'd be a hell of a t-shirt if that happened.
All right. We're going to remember that, Jules. We're going to remember. We're going to get it down when it happens. And make
sure make you some t-shirts, Mike.
We got to send me my t-shirt. You send me my t-shirt on it. But I'm looking forward to working with you on that set, man. I'm looking forward to having fun with you.
I'm looking forward to coming and getting to sit down with you guys and talk football with some of the greats, man. And it's going to be an honor and a pleasure. And I'm excited, nervous. But, you know, you guys, I can tell right now just by talking to you, the comfort, you know, like that's going to make it, you know, it's just guys talking ball. So
it's locker room.
We're getting paid to be in a locker room. That's kind of cool.
Juice, and that's the best part of it all, man. That's the best part. And honestly,
and I talked a lot of shit in the locker room, you know. Yeah, so
right. And come talking that same stuff on the set. Trust me, it'll be fun. Pete and Steve Espinosa, those guys be the greatest guys in the world to work with, man. I'm telling you, they're great dudes, man. You're going to enjoy, and I think you're going to do a spectacular job, man. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to seeing you and having you on the set, man. Bring that suit game ready. I'm just letting you know. Bring your suit game ready, because we're going to be ready.
Suit game. All right.
It's going to be tight.
Things up the old sleeve, Mike.
I know you do.
Come on, buddy.
I know you do, Juice. Juice, thanks for taking the time, man. I'm going to let you go. Man. I know I had 15, 20 minutes. It took longer than that, because I could talk to you all day, man, especially that receiver stuff, man. I get caught up in that. So I appreciate you taking the time, buddy.
Get out of here, man. Anytime, man. I'm glad we finally got to do it. We've been talking about it for years.
Yes, we have been talking about it. Now we'll have plenty of time, years, to talk about it on set together,
exactly,
man. You know
exactly
what I mean? Hey, tell the family and everybody I said hello.
Same here, man. I will.
Hey, God bless, buddy.
All right, Mike.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com. Today. That's GEICO.com.